This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The best tight end in the NFL plays here.
Kelce wide open! Touchdown! Kansas City! Why not? Mahomes to Kelce again to take the lead on a 22-yard touchdown pass.
Welcome back to The Drive right here on 610 Sports Radio. Here's C-Dot and Sean.
Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. So one day, Travis Kelce, I think, is going to call Canton home. Our next guest is already in Canton. He's a 12-time Pro Bowler, 3 times. He was on the first team All-Pro, 4 times. He was on the second team All-Pro. He also is on the NFL 2000s All-Decade team. He is also in the Pro and College Football Hall of Fame. We welcome one of the greatest football players of all time, Will Shields, onto the show today. Will, really appreciate you coming on today.
No problem, man. How you guys doing?
Doing good. Let's start here. We wanted to have you on to evaluate the offensive line play in this game. People think that Cleveland has the best offensive line in the NFL. What do you think?
Well, I think they're playing really well right now. If you saw what they did last week, being able to shuffle all the guys around and still be able to get them what they did, it was pretty phenomenal, you know, to have guys going down left and right and still plug new guys in that they barely even their names and able to still put up points.
So looking at the Cleveland offensive line last week, Pittsburgh with T.J. Watt didn't get a pressure, didn't get a hit on Baker Mayfield. What success do you think guys like Frank Clark and Chris Jones can have up against that Browns front?
Well, I think right now it's a little different game. As long as you don't start the game with turnovers and doing different things of that nature, and that sort of made a big difference in the game plan when you go into it. Watt didn't have an opportunity to ever get started. Simple fact, they were down. You know, they were down in points, so they didn't have to throw the ball. They have to dictate what happens on third and fourth down. They just keep running the ball and getting turnovers and doing things of that nature. That made the game a little easier, at least from an offensive line standpoint, since you're playing for Cleveland. Because, hey, we're going to run the ball as much as we can. We've got two of the best backs in the NFL to do it with. Why not do it and try to keep the game, you know, as short as you can? And so I think, you know, it's going to be an interesting game to try to get everything put together. But, you know, the one thing that you can't do is have those turnovers early in the game, and it sort of dictated what happened in the rest of the game.
Speaking of those running backs, Will, I was thinking we've all seen Kareem Hunt up close and personal. But most of the time there's not two running backs that are successful as Cleveland has with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. How much of that is because of their individual talent versus the great offensive line we're talking about?
Well, I think it's a little of both. I think the simple fact of it is you have two guys that can fill and know what they want to do, and they have a good 1-2 punch. You know, it's not like they put one guy and lose anything when they put the other guy in. So that really helps, and that helps the offensive line because you know the consistency behind you of what you're trying to accomplish. And, you know, that's the good thing about having two quality backs back there.
What about the Chiefs' offensive line? They've been patchwork all season. Some people say it's a major concern. They need to spend their first-round pick. Will, as an offensive lineman that played here for a long time and now is in the Hall of Fame, what do you think is going on with this Chiefs' offensive line and what should they do going forward?
Well, I think it's just like everything else. You know, you get injured, you get nicked here, you get there, you have a guy that opts out. I mean, that's just part of the process of what you're going through with the NFL right now. And you have to have guys that are versatile, that can play both guard and tackle and sometimes center here and there. You know, it's very hard to find that cohesiveness where you're going to have a person that's going to be there week in and week out for a long period of time just because of the nature of the way the game is played right now. And once you start getting a little older, you have guys that are older, you're going to have those more nicks and bumps and bruises. So you're going to have to bring some young guys, develop them, bring them on so that they can fill those spots. And so I think that's one thing that is going to be a concern as you move forward. But I think, you know, as long as you help them out, tight end here, little things there, you can still get done what needs to get done, especially when you have the weapons that the Chiefs have right now.
Right now we're talking to one of the greatest players in the history of the Kansas City Chiefs. Will Shields joins us on the show right now. Keeping it with the Chiefs offensive line, what do you make of how this team has sort of filled in for Mitchell Schwartz? He's a great player on the right side, playing right tackle, but they haven't had him for about the last 7 or 8 weeks. What do you make of how Mike Rimmers has performed in his absence and now going up against a strong defensive lineman as Myles Garrett?
Well, I think one thing that he's done a good job of holding down the fort and being able to, you know, hang in there when they can. But just like everything else, you say you have to scheme, you have to plan, you have to prepare, and then, you know, make sure that you don't leave him on an island by himself too many times in a row back-to-back to where the defensive lineman can get, you know, into a rhythm of, hey, I know when I can have him one-on-one and do this and do that. That's the key to the game, you know, and then use some of the speed and quickness against him sometimes, and that's where you go to the screen and draw game. So, I mean, you got to be that cohesiveness, but he's done a good job of hanging in there and doing what he needs to do. And I think each week you're going to get better because you're going to learn more. And that's one thing about it. The more times you get a chance to put your hand in the sand, you get an opportunity to get better.
So, Will, you had a long career, but at some point, like everybody's career, it came to an end. When did you know? Because we've talked a lot about Mitchell Schwartz and just unsure if he's going to come back. He's made a lot of money, back problems, already won a ring. Maybe this is time for him to step aside. Eventually, when you decided to retire, when did you know that it was time?
Well, it takes a lot into consideration. I mean, you consider, you know, how many bumps and bruises do you have? You know, what is the next couple of years going to look like? Can you put your body through the strain to give quality work of what you want to put on the field? That makes a big difference also. So those are all different things. And then, hey, family is always that most important piece of, you know, what quality of life will you have after the game? Will you move on? You know, will you be able to recover from some of these, at least be able to at least walk upright and decent for a while, you know, as you move into your older age? Those are all things that you have to consider. But, you know, the hard thing is that you love the game. You want to be a part of the game as long as you can. But you do have to make those decisions of, hey, can I get my body back in shape to endure the pounding that it's going to take to get through another season? And then do I have an opportunity to, you know, hold that trophy and, you know, and get that ring too? Because that's one of the other important pieces of what you're fighting for once you get to that certain age.
Will, as a guy that's in the Hall of Fame, just curious, do you think at some point Honey Badger Tyrann Mathieu is going to join you there?
You know, you never can tell. I think each position has their own way of getting to the Hall of Fame. You know, I think right now with the way he's playing unbelievable, and the way he controls the defense and gets those guys motivated and gets them in the right place at the right time. You know, I think there's a lot of guys that have opportunities to do it if they keep playing the way they're playing.
How concerned should Chiefs fans be with the Cleveland rushing attack coming up Sunday afternoon at Arrowhead because of that offensive line? As we talked about, it's a combination. If you combine the offensive line and the rushing attack, it's probably the best in the NFL. CDOT and I are on completely different terms. I think that if Cleveland keeps running the ball upwards of 40 times and averages 5 yards a carry, that's the way they can beat the Chiefs. What say you?
Well, you know, it all depends. I think you're going to have to keep the ground and pound game because that's what's gotten you here, and that's what, you know, you really know really well if you're on the Cleveland side of the ball. And on the other side here, you know, you look at it as, hey, we got to get the ball quickly down the field and into the end zone a few times to sort of make it get to that point to where, you know, you can't run the ball every down to where time becomes a factor. You know, one time, let's keep the ball as long as we can, and the other one is, let's put some points on the board often and early to force it to a game to where it doesn't, where you have to try to make those big plays to make a comeback. And I think that's how you got to play the game, back and forth. Play to your strength, do what you do, and don't change up too much to try to dictate what the other team can't do. You know, if you're strong at running, run the ball and dictate it that way. And if you can get that accomplished, that could be your victory on the other side. If you get points early and you keep scoring and put the pressure back on the other side, that's the way you do it. Because then you don't have to worry about well, how many times you're going to rush? If you put points on the board early, then you can try to run the ball a little bit here and there too.
And well, that's exactly kind of how I feel about this game. Cleveland certainly wants to come in and run the ball, but that strategy to me, your margin of error is just so slim. And going up against an offense like Kansas City, in which most of us expect to score at least 30 points in the game, it's just really hard to play that ball control style offense against a team like Kansas City that can score as often and as quickly as the Chiefs can.
Well, if you look at it right now, big plays and things of that nature, Cleveland's doing an unbelievable job with play action and different things like that. They lead the league in some of those categories of, you know, plays over so many yards, 20 yards, things of that. So it makes a big difference when you look at it, though. You know, they're not a, hey, let me grind it out kind of thing. It just happens to look that way because the running backs are running so well when they do get that opportunity. But they're definitely using it to their advantage to make some big plays and get some big chunks.
Will, two last questions we want to ask you before we get you out of here. We talked about it this week, the Dwayne Rudd game. You played in the Dwayne Rudd game. Can you take us through your memory of the final 20 seconds of that game?
The Dwayne Rudd game. You talking about when he took his helmet off?
Yeah, that one.
the John Tate, I'm running for the end zone as long as I can game. It was one of those weird things because I'm trying to think. That game was really – it was really weird because we were going for this last play and it just sort of fell apart. And as it falls apart, the ball pops in the air, he catches it, he starts running, and we're back here looking, run, run, run. Some people are saying, get down, get down, get down. But then he threw his helmet off and get an extra play. It's one of those things of like, you know, the rules just so happen to fall right when you needed them to for you to get the win. And that's one of those things of like, you know, you could play, you know, a million games. You never think they would end that way on a penalty where you kick a field goal because somebody took their helmet off.
And last question.
It was really cool, though.
And last question here. We appreciate your time. So I'm looking at your stats and I'm looking at your career. You had one tackle in your career. Can you tell us a story about the one tackle you got in your career?
One tackle. I think that was actually on a fumble. It was either a fumble or an interception because that's one thing that it was probably there. It's just an interception and it ended up getting a tackle on the other side when the guy was trying to score a touchdown.
That is Will Shields joining us on the show today. One of the greatest players in the history of the Kansas City Chiefs, 12-time Pro Bowler, 3-time first-team All-Pro, 4-time second-team All-Pro. He also is on the All-Decade team for the 2000s. He is in the Chiefs Hall of Fame, the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and the College Football Hall of Fame. Will, it was an honor to have you on our show today. Thanks a lot.
No problem, man. Thanks. You have a good one, bro.
That is Will Shields joining us on the show today.
Yo, are the two most famous Browns game in the last 20 years games where guys took their helmets off? I mean, obviously the Dwayne Rudd one's like real famous here in Kansas City when old boy Myles Garrett beat old boy over the head last year. I can't really think of any other games in my lifetime that have mattered when it comes to Browns football.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of it. That's a
Orlando
really
Brown getting hit in the eye with the flag.
Okay, has anything not involved somebody's head? Like, has there been anything involving the football field?
I mean, that Orlando Brown game ended when the Browns fans started throwing bottles on the field.
Didn't he get blind from that?
I think he, like, lost his vision.
Pretty sure
that was crazy.
The referee threw the flag. It hit the guy in the eye. By the way, Orlando, he was like a top-5 NFL pick. And that was the end of his career. He went blind because of that. What in the hell is going on out there in Cleveland?
No, that was crazy. We've had Will Shields on a couple of times, just every single time I look at it. Like, you know how some people's like Wikipedia page, like it has like a little bit of stuff that you did? Like, there's nothing in football this man didn't do. He was a consensus All-American in college. He's in the Chiefs Hall of Fame, the College Hall of Fame, the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He made the Pro Bowl every year from 95 until 2006, basically every January, he could just book a free trip to Hawaii. Every single year. It's wild how good he was.
I'm far from an expert on the offensive line, but it does feel like, remember back on his offensive line, so it was Tate, Shields, Wigman, Willie Rofe, who am I forgetting, Brian Waters.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty damn good, huh? 20 years later, you say your memory's better than mine. I don't know if this Browns offensive line is that good.
No, I don't think anybody's putting it in that category.
It feels like people are talking about it. Now, maybe it's because we're here in Kansas City and they just dominated a game versus Pittsburgh, but the way they're being talked about, every single guest that we've brought on, before they talk about Baker Mayfield, hell, some people, before they talk about the rushing attack or the head coach or the fact they haven't made the playoffs in 20 years, we haven't talked about an offensive line in 2 years that we've been doing this show like we had this week for the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just the strength of their team. I think it's the best unit in the NFL. I don't want to put it anywhere close to that Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, you had two guys that made the Pro Football Hall of Fame and Brian Waters, who, You know my favorite Chiefs fact is Brian Waters was so good at offensive line, he won offensive player of the week. Like, you don't win offensive player of the week as an offensive lineman.
What
you
did
win
he that do that week? What did he do? How did he win that award?
That was the game against the Falcons. Remember they had all those rushing touchdowns against the Falcons? Brian Waters won offensive player of the week. Like, the Browns offensive line's good. Don't get me wrong here. It ain't nowhere close to that Chiefs offensive line in the early 2000s.
Don't get it twisted. I was saying people are talking about them like they are. That game, the Chiefs rushed for, what, 8 touchdowns?
Mm-hmm.
It was Priest Holmes had 4 of them. Who had the other 4?
I don't remember.
Derek Blaylock had a couple.
I'm pretty sure he had 4, bro.
I thought Richardson got 1.
No, I think that it was 4 for each of those dudes, if my memory serves me correct. But, yeah, Will Shields, absolutely one of my favorite guests to bring on, keeps it real, and one of the best offensive linemen, not just in Chiefs history, but in NFL history.
I want to give you a stat really quickly.
Okay.
Because I know how much you like stats. Oh, yeah. And I know how high you have been on the Cleveland Browns running attack.
High on something.
So this is the last 6 games. Decent sample, you would say. 6 games, right? Cleveland has 726 rushing yards. It's a lot. Over 6 games. Kansas City, not a team known for running the football, has 719. Same 6 games. 726 for Cleveland, 719 for Kansas City. Yards per carry. You're really big on yards per carry. Certainly understand it. Cleveland, 4.17. Kansas City, 4.63. The Chiefs have only allowed 100-yard rushing game. I'm not talking about a player. I'm saying is over that time frame, one team has rushed for 100 yards over there. I think this week we have oversold the Browns rushing attack.
No, we haven't. This is exact same people. You know what people are doing? They're making the narrative. They're making their people have talked about Patrick Mahomes. Well, the last, 7 weeks, he hasn't been the best quarterback in football. In fact, by the numbers, he's only been the 10th best quarterback in football. All right, tell the whole story. What about all those other games? What about the entire season? What about last season? I'm talking about the entire body of work. So to me, if you just want to say, well, the Chiefs rushing attack over the last month and a half has been as good. We've agreed that the Chiefs haven't been trying to blow out their opponents. They've been trying to have ball control. They've been trying to keep Patrick Mahomes healthy. They've been trying to get the one seed, and they accomplished all those things. And part of the way to do that was to run the football. So are you suggesting that the Chiefs rushing attack and the Browns rushing attack are the same?
I don't think it's the same. I guess I pointed out because if we deem Cleveland's rushing attack to be dynamic, I mean, one of the best in the league, They're a unit that's capable of going out here and single-handedly winning this game. That offensive line, which Pro Football Focus loves, and that rushing attack, they're going to be enough to slay the big, bad Kansas City Chiefs. I just don't see it in the numbers.
Has anybody said that, by the way? Has anybody said that they're going to be enough to beat the Chiefs? Because I certainly haven't gave that opinion, and I haven't really heard that opinion. Even like when Joe Thomas came on, I've heard a lot of people say the same thing that you have, and Fesco has, and Rob has, that Cleveland can hang around in a perfect scenario, which is Baker Mayfield throwing for 300 yards and the rushing game going out there and averaging 5 yards per carry. A lot of people say that. I mean, that's obvious in the NFL, even in the playoffs. There's 2 good teams going, so if one team plays a perfect game, yes, you can beat the Kansas City Chiefs. Have you heard anybody say that Cleveland's going to rush so well they're going to beat Kansas City? I haven't heard anybody say that.
But I guess your whole point this weekend has been that's the only way
they can do
it.
It's the only way. Yeah.
So I guess I'm saying is I don't think their offensive line or their running game's good enough. I don't think they're dynamic enough. I don't think they're special enough to do that against this team. I think Kansas City is potentially an all-time great team. You've been saying it for, 2 months now? Hey, if this team can win the Super Bowl, we'll talk about them in the same vein of the 07 Patriots, the same vein as the 99 Rams' greatest show on turf. They will be up there immortalized, and they will be one of those flag teams that for years moving ahead in the NFL, people will reference this year's Kansas City Chiefs team. I think it will take something truly special and dynamic to disrupt that. I don't think that's on this roster. I think they're really good at some things. I think their rushing attack is really good. But I think part of what makes their rushing attack so special and so unique is the league is going in a completely different direction. The league is now predicated on throwing the football. How many yards can you pass for? And can your passing game be dynamic? And Cleveland has zagged when everybody else is zigging.
I mean, sort of, not in the AFC. Tennessee rushes the football. They don't win because they throw it. Baltimore rushes the football. They don't win because they throw it. Cleveland sure as hell doesn't win because they've got Baker Mayfield and your guy Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry. It's because they can run the football. The Chiefs do. That's why I don't think people understand. You can put up 30 points per game in today's NFL, even if you've got Baker Mayfield or Jimmy Garoppolo. Remember last year, perfect example. We kept talking about the Chiefs offense and the San Francisco defense. And then we got down to Miami and we looked at the numbers. We're like, oh, actually the Chiefs have the better defense and San Francisco has the better offense. Cleveland's offense put
up. I was never saying that last year.
But the numbers did. Cleveland's offense put up just as many points as the Chiefs' offense did this year. One of them scored 30, one of them scored 29. We're splitting hairs here. They just did it completely different ways.
Yeah, but I guess in those, if those are the examples that we're using, Tennessee, great rushing football team. Super good, super great rushing football team. But I think in order to do what you're talking about, or I guess your strategy, or maybe it's not your strategy, but like how you think Cleveland can win.
It's theirs. It's their strength.
Your defense got to be a lot better than that. Like most teams, it's you got to be a power running team and you got to be a really strong defensive team. Last year for Tennessee, they were able to do it because they had an all-time running back and that defense was a whole lot better. That this year, you couldn't really fall back on the defense the way that you could. Baltimore's rushing attack, really strong. Not as strong as it was last year. Last year, the best rushing team in the history of the league. Is their defense going to be enough to do it? Like, that's what I've been saying this whole week. I think Cleveland can run the ball really effectively. But you also got to be able to get stops against Kansas City, and you got to be able to limit Kansas City. And if the game, for any reason, changes just one iota from your, all right, we're going to control the line of scrimmage, we're going to run the football. Oh, man. Hey, the Chiefs just scored two touchdowns on their first two possessions. What do we do here? Not many teams are disciplined enough to stay with that game plan and keep running the football. Really, no team in the NFL stays with that game plan once you get down, once the time starts moving, once the conditions of the game change.
Well, at that point, you're dead either way. Do you want to drown or do you want to be electrocuted? You know what I'm saying? Like, if the Brown gets down, if Cleveland's down 14 points at any point in this game, we're not going to see a repeat of Chiefs-Texans last year where you look up and you go, oh my gosh, I can't believe they caught them. It feels like Cleveland, even if Cleveland gets a lead, we've seen plenty of times the Chiefs come back. That they can't build themselves a deficit or they're completely screwed.
If I'm Kansas City defensively, this is what I do. I do something similar to what Baltimore did last week. I dare Cleveland to throw the football. I put all of my resources into stopping the run. If you go back and watch that game, Baltimore was putting consistently 8 in the box and consistently winning those matchups. And they were saying, hey, we're going to leave A.J. Brown on the outside one-on-one. And sometimes he's going to have catches. A.J. Brown didn't have a bad game in there. Sometimes Marcus Peters is going to get beat in that scenario. But we're going to gamble more times than not. We're going to win that matchup, and you're going to be uncomfortable in what you're trying to do. And Tannehill couldn't really do it. They were 4-for-12 on third down, and they had to throw the ball on 9 of those third downs. Wasn't really productive in that scenario. I would do the exact same thing here. I would tell Cleveland, we're going to put 8 in the box. I'm putting Tyrann Mathieu in the box to help in stopping the run, and we're not going to let you rattle off these long runs. And when you get in third and long scenarios and you got to throw the football, we're going to gamble on the matchup of Snead over Jarvis Landry. We're going to gamble on Bashaud Breeland against Donovan Peoples-Jones. We're going to take the gamble that Baker's not good enough on these one-on-one matchups consistently on the outside to win. That's what Baltimore did last week against Derrick Henry, who had just run for 250 yards the week before. They made a commitment to, he's not going to beat us today.
They also made a commitment to tackling. It's one thing to talk about scheming and stacking the box and doing all the right things. I've seen a couple of games, hell, I'm old enough to remember a couple of games earlier this year where the Chiefs did an okay job at getting to the running back or getting to the tight end. They just couldn't bring them down. And in this game, you want to talk about guys that are good with yards after carry? Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb, number 2 and number 3 in the league when it comes to guys making contact with them, and those guys continue to run. So I know it sounds simple, but the Chiefs, it's one thing to get there. It's another thing to actually get that guy down.
I'm putting 8 in the box consistently. That's what I'm doing.
I'm with you.
I'm putting 8 in the box. You ain't running the ball 40 times against 8 in the box. You're going to try to nibble off a little play action and try to beat you deep down the field. So far, with how Snead is playing, I trust Snead on Jarvis Landry. Sometimes Landry's going to beat you. It's the NFL. You're going to give up 5 catches for 70 yards in that scenario. We just can't let Landry go off. And I'm going to guess that more times than not, Snead's going to win that matchup based on how he's played this year. I'm going to guess that Bashaud Breeland's going to win that matchup against Donovan Peoples-Jones. We all know what Cleveland wants to do. We know they want to run the football. And we also know what they don't want to do, which is force Baker to throw the ball more than 35 times in this game. So don't play into their hands. You got to eliminate long runs, as you're saying, tackle at the line of scrimmage. Don't let them get to the second level. Don't let them get to the linebacker core. This is where the $200 million that you spent on your defensive line needs to step up in this scenario. And I think their secondary can consistently win one-on-one matchups on the outside.
So you keep saying force them into third down. I agree with you. That's huge. This season, Cleveland put themselves in the best third down scenario of any team in the league. They average like 3rd-and-3. Obviously, they've got a couple of the best running backs in the league. I think that they're going to be hyper-aggressive a la Carolina earlier this year, where You can't just talk about third down. You're going to talk about fourth down. For a team that has two guys that average 5 yards per carry, last time I checked, correct me if I'm wrong, you have to get 10 yards, right, to get a first down. So if we're going to give them four chances to do it, if they're hyper-aggressive and they say, the only way that we can do this is to keep Pat off the field, to put up as many points as we can, and to not punt the ball away, I think they're going to hand it off on first down and get 4 yards, hand it off on second down, get a couple of yards, and then you're saying it's third and five. I don't think they necessarily pass it. I think they run it two more times to get first down. So, again, I hope I'm not giving the team any advice that they were already planning on doing. I'm just suggesting if Baker Mayfield is going out there and doing what you said, throwing the ball 30 times, having 300 yards, that means the Browns got their asses kicked.
Coming up next, we'll talk about. So that's how I think Kansas City should defend Cleveland. If you're Cleveland now with the loss of Sammy Watkins, you have to force somebody else to beat you. Is their defense good enough to do that? We'll discuss it next. Stick around. It's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6. You're listening to The Drive.
Tyreek Hill over the shoulder, 15-yard line. Cuts it back inside. Five. He backflips into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. 44-yard touchdown reception. And Tyreek Hill is close to 200 yards receiving in the first quarter.
Weekdays 2 to 6 on the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Now comes the part of the show where we talk about Sammy Watkins.
Yay.
Now, I've had a change of heart.
These baselines are sick, Rob. We should keep these. It reminds me of the beginning of a KU game. You know, back when fans used to go to Allen Field. Basketball game. Sorry, what were you saying?
I mean, we knew it wasn't a football game.
No, it wasn't a football
game. We knew that. You didn't have to clarify it was a KU basketball game. We knew.
My bad.
I've come around on Sammy Watkins and his playoff production. I have a very simple question to ask you guys. We can even open up the phone lines if you guys would like. 913-576-7610. I said we would take phone calls. We can take phone calls on this. Sammy Watkins has been a really productive postseason player for the Kansas City Chiefs. We don't got to talk about the contract or the regular season. He has been a really productive playoff player for the Kansas City Chiefs. The last two postseasons, 62 yards receiving, 114 yards receiving, 76, another 114, and 98 yards. Sammy Watkins has been a plus for the Kansas City Chiefs in the postseason. They are playing a postseason game on Sunday. Sammy Watkins is not going to be available. If I am Cleveland now with this information, just how we were talking about how I'm not going to let Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb beat me, how I'm going to force Baker to throw the football. If I'm Cleveland, what I'm thinking in my defensive meetings is this. We know we don't have the ability to stop both Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill. They're too good at quarterback. They're too good at scheming. They're too good at calling plays. There ain't no way that we're going to stop both of these guys from having a good day. But we can maybe stop one of these guys. So we need to put a lot of resources into making sure that Tyreek Hill doesn't beat us on a big play down the field. We need to ensure that Travis Kelce, everywhere he goes, he's being followed by two people. And maybe Hill gets his, but we're going to limit Travis Kelce to five catches for 50 yards. We can manage that. In the same way that you're asking Jarvis Landry to beat you or Donovan Peoples-Jones, I'd be trying to force DeMarcus Robinson, Mecole Hardman, and Byron Pringle. I'd be forcing one of those guys to make up the production that you wouldn't get from one of those guys not having a star-studded day. If Hill and Kelce both have 100 yards receiving, Cleveland has a negative 23% chance of winning this football game.
That's not very good.
There's no chance they have of winning this football game if Hill and Kelce are both cooking. Because if Hill and Kelce are both cooking, that means Patrick Mahomes is cooking. That means he's thrown for 375 yards against you. That means they're going to be playing touchdown music a lot at Arrowhead. But I'd put a lot of resources into stopping one of those two guys. You pick who you got to stop. Whoever they deem to be the more important guy out of those two, you deem it. And Sammy has always been there to make up the difference. Last year, as good as Tyreek Hill is, as good as Travis Kelce is, Sammy Watkins led them in receiving yards last postseason. I think this is a bigger loss than you're selling it here. Now, can they overcome it in this one individual game? Sure. There's certainly enough offensively for them to beat Cleveland. But as the game gets more important, and I would say the defenses they go up against are certainly a lot better than the one they're going up against on Sunday, you're going to need one of those three individuals to step up and make up for the production. So whether it's a combination of two guys or whether DeMarcus Robinson can make himself $30 million here over the next 3 weeks, somebody's going to have to make up for the almost 300 yards receiving they're losing because Sammy Watkins isn't playing right now in the postseason.
That doesn't seem that difficult to me. I mean, if you're asking one guy, if you're saying, all right, Sammy's out, so McCall Hardman step up like we did earlier this year, or now's your time, DeMarcus Robinson, you're trying to get paid next offseason, or Byron Pringle, every time we give you an opportunity, you show out, so go out there and do it again. I don't care which guy it is, Le'Veon Bell out of the backfield. As long as each one of those guys does a little something, or a couple of those guys do a little something, then that's how you make up for Sammy Watkins' absence. Look, it's not like we're talking about Travis Kelce not on the field and they're going out there with a backup tight end who had two catches on the season. That's not the situation. It's not like Tyreek Hill isn't on the field because he's injured and all of a sudden they don't have their number one wide receiver. What you said is absolutely going to happen. It's not a question of maybe it's going to happen. It's just when is it going to happen? Tyreek Hill will have 100 yards and will have a touchdown. Travis Kelce will have 100 yards and will have a touchdown. You want to talk about two energetic guys that have been jonesing to get back on the football field. It's those two guys. Patrick Mahomes, as you mentioned, he loves him some football. I bet if you asked him, he would have rather played that last game than sat. He's had a couple of weeks off. Now he's got a fresh arm. Tyreek Hill has fresh legs against a very questionable secondary. So I can tell you right now, that's a foregone conclusion. Both those guys chalk it up for 100 and a touchdown. Now all we're just talking about, C-Dot, is a little bit of production from a couple of other dudes. Is that really asking that much?
I guess I'm asking is if that scenario doesn't happen, which it's possible. I'm not saying that they're going to play poorly, but it's possible that Cleveland defends one of them fairly well. Which of those guys do you trust? Because a lot of people keep saying Byron Pringle, and I certainly get it. Byron Pringle played 8 snaps on offense last postseason. They've only thrown Byron Pringle the ball the entire time we've talked about Byron Pringle, 33 times over the last 2 years. They haven't really shown me that they trust Byron Pringle in these moments, in these situations. We ain't talking about a week 17 game against the Chargers. It don't matter whether you win or lose. We're not talking about a week 9 game against Buffalo that ultimately doesn't really matter if you win or lose. We're talking about the playoffs here. One mistake, one missed assignment, one missed block can be the difference between winning and losing a game.
Yeah.
I don't think they're trusting Byron Pringle in that scenario. Not now. Maybe next year we'll see what happens. Guys leave, he moves up the depth chart. They give him, they put a little bit more on his plate, give him a little bit more responsibility. I don't think Byron Pringle is going to be one of these guys.
Well, trust and talent are very separate things. I mean, don't get that twisted. Trust and talent. The Chiefs absolutely have trusted Sammy Watkins the last couple of years because he's a veteran wide receiver. He understands the playbook. Byron Pringle hadn't been in the system that long. We're talking about last year now.
His talent has also helped him in the postseason.
McCall Hardman was a rookie last year. I think that this year those guys are going to get the opportunity. And what are we really talking about? Let's say Hardman goes out there, C-Dot, and has one long catch and one more catch. Two catches, ends up with 50 yards. Great. Let's say DeMarcus Robinson goes out there and just has a pair of catches, right? And let's say that some other random wide receiver has a catch. That's how you make up for Sammy Watkins' absence. And I also don't think you could count on Sammy Watkins even if he was there.
Do you trust Hardman to do that?
Would you have taken I'm answering your question with a question. Would you have taken this big sigh of relief if the news today was Sammy Watkins was going to be on the field instead of not in the game?
I would feel more comfortable, absolutely.
I wouldn't feel any different. I'd just be like, yeah, well, that sucks. Kind of expected it. That's how it goes. But it's not like that's where we differ is if Sammy Watkins is out there, you think that it really aids the Chiefs and makes everything a lot easier.
I think it makes it easier for Hill and Kelce, absolutely.
I think if Sammy's on the field, Hill and Kelce are going to put up the same numbers. I think that it makes it easy. That third option is more obvious. That third option is more consistent and more experienced if it's Sammy Watkins. But I don't think that if Sammy was out there on the field Sunday, I would expect him to do what he's done in all these other playoff games that you gave me. I know you said that you had 68 yards and 72 yards and 104 yards and 95 yards. That's like 4 or 5 games. I've seen 30 games from Sammy Watkins where he goes out there and has a catch for 10 yards and gets hurt to make me think that if the news was Sammy Watkins is going to play, I'll go, oh, cool, there's 100 yards and a touchdown. That's just not the facts.
Let's go to the phone lines right now. MU Timbo.
How's it going, guys?
What's up, man?
Love you guys. I've been listening to you guys since I kicked 8-10 to the curb.
Appreciate that.
And not Special K, but Special D, if you know what I mean. Anyway, Sammy Watkins, I love him. He's not great, but he's good. I mean, he's better than average. I've seen him drop a few they shouldn't have. And if there's one person that the Browns are going to need to stop, it's Kelsey. And always count on Kelsey.
What do you think? That's it for phone calls today?
You love the phone calls. I'm happy to take the phone calls. I'm a man of my word.
That's like yesterday. That's equally on you. You've been phone call guy in 2021.
We can all take the blame for that. I mean, you're the one screening the calls. I'm the one that wants to take more phone calls, and you're the one that finally like actually accepted it. So we can take equal blame.
I mean, that's fine. I don't got no problem doing that. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little bit surprised at the text line right now. This is why I'm a little bit surprised. And I don't know why I'm surprised, but I'm a little bit surprised. The text line, and you guys are here, rides for playoff Sammy every single week in the regular season. Am I lying here? The text line rolls for Sammy Watkins every week.
They do. It's crazy, but they do.
Now I'm on you guys' side saying, hey, you're right. You guys are right this entire time. Sammy Watkins is a big help. Nobody thinks it matters now. It's like nobody. So I just want to understand this. When Sammy Watkins wasn't performing in the regular season and was performing in the playoffs, they had to keep him because of his value in the postseason. Now that they could potentially not have him in the postseason, it doesn't really matter. It's not that big of a deal. Which one is it?
How many times?
I'm so confused.
Have you ever been cheated on by a girlfriend? Because it sounds like you have, and you went back to her, and then went back to her again. Then she cheated on you again. Then you caught her in the act and went back to her again. How many times are you going to go back to her, dog?
I guess what I'm saying is you've never believed in Sammy Watkins. I'm saying is right now the text line, you've been here. The text line, more than Patrick Mahomes, more than you, more than me, more than barbecue, the thing the text line loves the most is playoff Sammy Watkins.
It's wild.
The phone calls. They love Sammy Watkins in the plasma. He ain't playing. Nobody. I'm the only one now that cares. How am I the only? So I just want to say, I was the only one complaining about his contract. Now I'm the only one saying, hey, you know what? That guy who had 300 yards receiving last year in the postseason, they could maybe use him for this game. Like, maybe he's a help. Now, nobody's willing to ride with me now.
Would you count on that, though? I mean, you keep saying what he did last year. I haven't seen Sammy Watkins in, what, months, at least the Sammy Watkins that you're talking about.
The last game that he played, he had 60 yards receiving. The last game against the New Orleans Saints, he had 60 yards receiving and four catches for 60 yards.
What's he done since?
They ain't played since then.
Yeah, he's been injured.
They play.
He's been injured like he always is. If you think that Sammy Watkins was going to go out there and have 80 yards and a touchdown, then I'm sorry. You're just foolish.
I'm just telling you, based on the postseason, that's what he had been doing. That's what he had been doing in the five games that they had had in the postseason.
Hey, can we talk about
somebody's
then,
going to need to make up for
how
it?
How come then five of his seven biggest stat lines in a Chiefs uniform have come in the playoffs? Like, I'm not talking about the games he doesn't play. If you're injured, if you get hurt early, whatever, you're not going to put up big numbers. How come statistically five of his like seven or eight best games have been the postseason? What the hell goes on every other game?
I'm just telling you, playoff Sammy Watkins.
Okay.
I believe in the power of playoff Sammy Watkins. I am now the only person that believes in the power. Life has really come full circle for me when it comes to Sammy Watkins. When I was the biggest detractor of Sammy Watkins, you guys told me to shut up. We only care about the playoffs. Now that it's the playoffs, and I'm like, yo, they need him. Nobody thinks they need him. Doesn't matter that he's not on the team. I'm so confused. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio. One show and one show only talks every week to number 15.
Mahomes sprinting to the near pylon. Reaches out. Touchdown. Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes sprints into the end zone.
The Drive. Weekdays 2 to 6 on 610 Sports Radio. Here's Carrington Harrison and Sean Levine.
We'll get back to talking about the Chiefs momentarily, but we have UFC on here in the studio. What would it take for you to get beat up so bad that a gentleman kicked you while you were standing up? You're laying there nearly unconscious. The guy just gets on top of you, just starts punching you in the face. And then you decide to continue that career path. Like, the first time that happened, I'd be like, yeah, let me get a nice desk job. You know a big reason why I picked this job? There's not really much of a fear of me getting punched in the face repeatedly. Like, maybe one time you might get punched, but I'm not really that fearful of anybody at the job just standing over me and just pummeling my face in. That doesn't seem like a career path that a smart person would choose.
I mean, I also don't know how good you'd be at throwing elbows for a living and choking people out and flying knees, so
I don't have any interest in doing any of that.
Yeah, you should probably stick with radio.
I don't have any interest in that. You know what, text line? I want to apologize to you guys. I really want to apologize. Text line 913-576-7610. Playoff Sammy isn't available for the playoffs because he's always hurt. It's old, bro. Just let it go. Somebody else said, Carrington, just shut up about it. You should stick to movies because football isn't your forte. You know what? I apologize. for talking about playoff Sammy Watkins. And I, the same way that you guys told me not to talk about cornerbacks anymore, how it didn't matter and how Brett Veach had it figured out. And I said, all right, I won't talk about it anymore. If you guys don't want to talk about Sammy Watkins anymore, fine. We won't ever talk about Sammy Watkins again. Today's the end of it. It's done. What time is it? 4:50 on Friday? If the text line doesn't believe in the power of playoff Sammy Watkins anymore, I don't want to waste anybody. I'm not here to waste anybody's time. I thought you guys believed in playoff Sammy Watkins. I thought he was like Santa Claus. You guys telling me you don't believe it? All right, cool. I'm done. I'm dropping it.
No.
After you talk about it, I promise you I will not bring up Sammy Watkins anymore the rest of the playoffs.
Santa Claus always shows up every December 25th. If we're going to call him playoff Sammy, then doesn't he have to be there when the playoffs start?
You're right. I'm done talking
about
it.
Last time I checked St. Nick, I have to wake up on Christmas morning. I go and check every single time. Every time there's presents there.
He does always deliver. That's fair.
You know who doesn't always deliver?
Well,
you know who doesn't deliver more often than not?
He always delivered in the playoffs, but the text line. I'm done talking about it. I just want to point out, Rob, you not. Text line. If we talk about Sammy Watkins between now and the Super Bowl, it will be because Sean wants to talk about
okay,
him.
Then let's
I want that
okay,
now
here,
on
I got
the
something
record.
For you. Let's talk
I
about,
promise you, I will never talk about him again.
There's a Sammy Watkins on the defense, too. He goes by the name of Frank Clark.
We can talk about him.
Everything that you've said about Sammy Watkins applies for Frank Clark. Let's say that Frank Clark was hurt. Let's say that Frank Clark had the stomach ailment or whatever happened last year, and you told me that he wasn't going to be a go for this game. You know what my answer would be? Because I understand that if we're talking about actual tangible impact, winning and losing a football game, what that guy's done doesn't matter all that much. Now, if you say, what about playoff Frank Clark? Then I'd say, oh, yeah, you have to have that guy. But are we sure that he's going to be that guy? Just because last year Sammy Watkins was so good in the postseason, you're not going to take the sample size you saw this entire year? Rob, give me the stats. How many touchdowns did he have this entire year? Zero? One? And now we think he's going to be an impact player? So I don't care what he's getting paid. I don't care how much we spend time talking about him.
I'm done talking.
I don't care how high he was.
I'm done talking about him.
I'm talking about both Frank Clark and Sammy Watkins.
Watkins had two touchdowns this year, by the way.
Two touchdowns. How about that?
We don't got to talk about either one of them anymore.
All right.
I only want to talk about things you want to talk about. If you don't want to talk about them, I ain't even going to talk about them.
Okay.
Let's talk about Cleveland.
You have a minimum of three drives that are all at least 7 minutes long plus that become touchdowns. Listen, there's no point in winning the time of possession battle if you're not going to score touchdowns, because explosive plays would mitigate that. So that's the mandatory thing for their offense. The second thing, know yourself and be realistic about who you are defensively, okay, Cleveland? You first of all have to demand that you only give up short passes to this offense. I don't care if you're dropping eight. I don't care if you're dropping nine and he's getting 8, 9, 10-yard chunks. Make them drive the field 6, 7, 8 plays per drive at a minimum to chew up clock themselves, because if you play man coverage, we know that 15 can throw the ball downfield against man better than anybody in the NFL. So make them as much as you can work to earn their drives. Don't allow him to get out of the pocket and escape a ton. And then you got to get interior pressure. That's been the flaw, so to speak, of Kansas City's offensive line. So maybe Myles Garrett comes and rushes inside. I think fake field goals.
He couldn't even straight
punts.
Get through this opinion.
Who is this guy?
Any single time you get past a 50 and it's 4th and 5 or less, you got to go for it.
That's Dan Orlowski.
Oh.
Of ESPN. Now
he's tall and wears tennis shoes.
Dan Orlowski makes – you guys don't want to know how much money Dan Orlowski makes to give that opinion right there. And as someone who – for a living. You guys want to know pressure? Say everything you think about a topic and then look at the clock and there's still 4 minutes remaining. You're like, yo, I got to figure this out. It's pressure. You got to figure it out on the fly. So sometimes I know we ain't talking about nothing. We just got to get through the end of the segment and then we'll have something new to talk about. That happens from time to time. Dan Orlowski just said a bunch of nothing for 80 seconds. If you got to put all those things as a caveat of why a team can win, bro, just come out and say they can't win, Doc. Just come out and say it. Dan Orlowski just spent the last 80 seconds telling you any given Sunday. That's what he is. I want to be clear here. And you guys know me. I'm not the one to jump out of the window and say Kansas City's blowing the doors off of people. I was the one talking about margin of victory when you guys were telling me it don't matter, it don't matter. Shut up, they keep winning. I was like, yo, maybe we should talk about this. Cleveland is not close to the talent level of Kansas City. If Kansas City loses and or plays a close game to the Cleveland Browns, it will be because of them. Cleveland is not good enough to disrupt or stop anything Kansas City is doing. Now, next week, when they advance, I won't be saying the same stuff about Buffalo. In fact, you guys will be mad because I'm giving Buffalo too much credit. I'm not being a homer enough. Next week against Baltimore, when I'm the only one saying, hey, at some point, Lamar is going to win. I don't think Mahomes is going to go 17-0 against Lamar Jackson. At some point, Lamar is going to figure out a way. Why couldn't this time be now? You guys will be like, shut up. We don't want to hear that. I'm here telling you as that individual and my ability to foresee the future. I'm here telling you that Cleveland can't beat Kansas City. If you've been watching this year in the league and you've been watching this Chiefs team and watching this Cleveland team, you also know exactly what I'm talking about. Dan Orlowski knows exactly what I'm talking about. And that's why he had to give you 9 separate things Cleveland needs to do to win the football game. All I got to do is give you one thing Kansas City needs to do to win the football game. Show up.
Well, thanks, Miss Cleo.
If they show up to the game.
I was always wondering what that C stood for. Cleo, huh?
With 47 eligible players, they will win the football game. That simple. They'll win the football game by simply arriving at the venue. That's it. That's my breakdown of the game.
Just show up and they win, huh? I think you're right. No, I think that Cleveland has a backdoor way to keep the game close, and that's continue running the football. In all likelihood, they're not going to be able to do that at some point because they're going to be down by too much, where even me, who's been pounding the table all week long, saying you got to keep running, you got to keep running. If you're down 21 or 28 points, at that point, you got to put it in Baker Mayfield's hands. But if they get down 21 and put it in Baker's hands, that's a good way to get down 41. I think that Kansas City has every arrow pointing in their direction. And one of the things that we probably haven't talked enough about, there's a chance that Cleveland completely blew their wad last time out. They hadn't won a playoff game in 20 years. They finally got to the postseason. They played their division opponent, and they housed them. And Baker actually played pretty damn good. Can you do it again? I don't know.
Coming up next, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. And this Cleveland Chiefs game reminds me of a Chiefs game from yesteryear. I'll tell you which one that is. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.